listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Tune in every Wednesday at 4 p.m. for Team Martech, local professionals serving our community. Listen to a financial advisor, local attorney, independent insurance agent, mortgage broker, realtor, and certified public accountant. They discuss issues and answer questions of interest to you. That's Team MarTech, Wednesdays at 4 p.m. on WCNO.
Fifth Street Pharmacy of Okeechobee is a WCNO corporate underwriter. Longtime pharmacists Blair Coolwin and Tom Bimbo, along with their dedicated staff, pride themselves on fast and friendly service, providing you a pharmacy experience with the personal touch that you deserve. Fifth Street Pharmacy is located on the corner of Northwest 5th Street and 2nd Avenue, behind Napa Auto Parts. Most insurance plans are accepted, and they provide a drive-up window for your convenience.
Sing to the east and the west. control. I surrender heart and soul. Like clay.
Sin, for my life paid the price that I might learn to sing praises to my God and King. That we sing praises to His His holy name, that we cry, worthy is your name on high, that we consider your great love. Alleluia. Sing to the people, tell of the wondrous story, how a man that's bent and broken can stand before the King, be called a faithful servant. That's gotta make you sing praises to my God and King. That we sing praises to his holy name, that we cry, worthy is your name on high, that we consider your great love. Alleluia. Story, how a man that's bent and broken can stand before the King, be called a faithful servant. That's gotta make you sing praises to my God and King. That we sing praises to his holy name, that we cry, your name on high, that we consider your great love. Alleluia.
This is Tom Creighton, station manager of WCNO Radio. Most of you know that WCNO Radio is a listener-supported ministry. But do you know that much of our programming is made possible by corporate underwriting? Christian businessmen and women who sponsor this ministry monthly with a financial commitment that allows us to continue bringing you the music and message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In return, we play sponsorship announcements that let the listeners know who our sponsors are, what they do, what products and services they provide, and if our listeners wish, how they may contact those sponsors. So if you're a Christian business person, why not join us as a partner in ministry today? For free, no obligation information on the corporate underwriting program, we're available at 772-221-1100. That number again, 772-221-1100.
Lifted the hand of God Almighty to part the waters and the sea, but it only took one little lie to separate you and me. Oh, we are not as strong as we think we are. And they say that one day Joshua, he made the sun stand still in the sky. But I can't even keep these thoughts of you from passing by. Oh, we are not as strong as we think we are. We are frail, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, forged in the fires of human passion, choking on the fumes of selfish rage. And with these our hells and our heavens so few inches apart, we must be awfully small and not as strong as we think we are. And the master said that fate was gonna make the mountains move. But me, I tremble like a hill on a fault line just at the thought of how I lost you. Oh, we are not as strong as we think we are. Well, we are frail, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, forged in the fires of human passion, choking on the fumes of selfish rage. With these our hells and our heavens so few inches apart, we must be awfully small and not as strong as we think we are. And if you make me laugh, I know the hand of God Almighty to part the waters in the sea. But it only took one little lie to separate you and me. Oh, we are not as strong as we think we are. When you love, you walk on the water, just don't stumble on the waves. We all wanna go there, something awful, but to stand there takes some grace. Cause oh, we are not as strong as we think we are. No, we are not as strong.
Of heaven lift their songs of praise to you. Oh Lord, our Lord, your holy throne, it thunders with worship as the angels sing, worthy is your name. Than
Someday we will finally behold the singer.
Our God is a consuming fire, a burning holy flame with glory and freedom. Our God is the only righteous judge, ruling over us with kindness and wisdom. We will keep our eyes on you, Lord, we will keep our eyes on you. A mighty fortress is ours.
Still on she came, through the shame that blushed her face. till at last she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard as she put her love for the master from her box of alabaster.
his own, a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator, he came my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in
everybody. This is Paul Neeson with Torah Life Ministries. I'm so happy to be back here on the air on WCNO. It's been a while since I've been on, but I've been blessed with some amazing offerings to be able to put this show back on the air. And I want to speak about the scriptures. Today on the show, I'm gonna talk about a situation that happened. We've been street witnessing recently, and I've always been turned off by street evangelism. When I was growing up, when I wasn't a believer, and then even when I became a believer, I thought, this isn't the best way to reach people. There must be a better way to get the message out. This is just turning people off. But all that changed when I was in New York City one day having lunch in a local park, and I saw a street evangelist proclaiming the good news of a wonderful Creator and His Word and the Gospel. And a man dressed like a woman came up to him and started yelling at him. And there were demons in this man for sure. And I'm watching this, and the fellow that was preaching just kept reading scripture. And the demon man, possessed man or woman or whatever you want to call it, just kept yelling at him. And, you know, finally it just hit me. I said, this man, even though he's not, you know, bowing on his knees and repenting and accepting Yeshua, Jesus, and using the sinner's prayer, but what he is doing is he's hearing scripture. And a seed is being planted, tremendously planted. So I thought that, and that changed my whole aspect on everything. And then I met another street preacher, and I was watching what happened, and somebody said, yelling at him, oh, I'm a Christian, but this isn't the way to reach people. This is just turning people off. Who are you going to actually reach like this? And the preacher looked it back at him and said, you know, this is how I got saved. I mean, how can you argue with that? And I was like, this is really reaching people, and we need to get out there and tell people the word. And yeah, people don't like to hear the truth, and it's offensive to people that they want to live a wicked life, but in reality, people need to hear it, and the truth does hurt often, but we can't dummy down or water down our message just to please man or tickle people's ears. We got to get a serious message out there and let people know the truth, because folks, time is running out. So there's a scripture, Ezekiel 33:11, that I'm going to be talking about today. I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they can live, so they can have life. So I'm going to be talking about the situation. I was on a street witnessing to people, and somebody came up to me, and basically you're going to hear about that today on the show. Now, I want to talk a little before I get into this situation that we have with this fellow. Torah Life Ministries, most Christians have not heard of Torah. They don't know what Torah is. If you ask the average Christian, what is Torah? They'll say, oh, well, I'm not Jewish. I've never read the Torah. But the Torah is the first five books of the Bible, starting in Genesis. As a matter of fact, in Hebrew, the word Genesis is Bereshit, which means beginning. All words have a meaning to them in Hebrew. So the Torah is the first five books, and it's the foundation of all scripture. And when you have any house that's built, if the foundation is weak, everything on top of it's going to be weak. And that's what's happened today with Christianity, I'm afraid, to let people know the truth, because this is where we're at. A lot of people have built a wonderful relationship, so they think, with Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah. And I say Yeshua, that's Jesus. I use his Hebrew name, Yeshua. But so many people have a wonderful relationship with him, but their foundation is so weak because they don't know the instructions and guidelines of our Creator. That's what the Torah is. The Torah, the first five books, are the foundation of all scripture. Folks, if you walk into a movie theater in the middle of a movie, chances are you're not going to know what's going on. Chances are you're going to ask the person next to you what's going on, and they're going to tell you what's going on from their viewpoint. But even though they're there before you, what if they came in late? So they're not necessarily going to know what's on. So you have people giving their opinions and listening to their opinions of what's going on, but nobody has seen the beginning. Well, the Torah is the beginning of the Bible. And we need to understand the Hebraic roots of Yeshua Jesus to understand what is going on and the whole message of Scripture. And understand what our wonderful Messiah is talking about when he says many of the things. Today I hear a lot of people, for example, Paul's writings. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, Paul, you know, he doesn't go along with Scripture. Some of the things counteract Scripture. But if you know the Torah and you understand it, you see perfectly that Paul's writing go along perfectly with the Scriptures. And they don't counteract anything. And it's a wonderful message in the Scriptures. We have to understand, some people refer to the Torah as the law. And it's falsely taught in the church today that the law is done away with, and we no longer need the law. And first, you got to get away from this thinking law. You know, it's not law, it's Torah. It's guide, and that means guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And if anyone tells you the guidelines and instructions of our Creator are done away with, you know, that is not Scripture. Scripture says, you know, we're saved by the blood of Yeshua Jesus. That's why we're saved. He died for us so we could have life. So we're saved by his blood and his blood only. We can't work our way to be saved. We don't deserve the amazing gift that our Creator has given us in his Son dying for us. So that's the only way we're saved. However, we keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator not to be saved, but we should desire to keep them because we are saved. Because he told us what to do and how to live. And those instructions of what to do and how to live are found there right in the guidelines and instructions of our wonderful Creator. And people need to know this. You know, so the law is not done away with. And then people say, well, Jeremiah gave us a new covenant. Exactly. His covenant was we would take the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, the Torah, which some people mistakenly refer to as the law. He said we take them off paper and they should be on our hearts. So we know it by heart. And the only way we're going to learn it by heart is if we study His Word by heart. And we study it diligently and often and consistently. And it becomes part of us. So some people tell me, oh, once we're saved, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we should be living out the guidelines and instructions of our Creator automatically. Well, I would like to believe that's true, and perhaps it is true. You know, I don't like to get into who's saved or who's not saved, but I'll tell you what. If you think that, you know, you're saved and you desire and have fun living against the instructions and guidelines of the Word of our Creator, you probably are mistaken, because yes, we need time to work out our struggles, but when we're saved, we begin to love what He loves and hate what He hates. We no longer love the things that we loved before we were saved and accepted Yeshua as our Messiah. Folks, Him dying for us was not an excuse for us to keep living in our sin. Sin, the definition of it according to the description, is transgression of the Torah. Transgression of the Word of our Creator. That's what we need to understand and take that seriously. So if we don't know the Torah, okay, so the law is our schoolmaster. So if we don't know the schoolmaster, guess what? We don't know if we're doing good or bad, right or wrong. And there's a lot of people that they want to rely on their own way. You know, but there's a scripture in Proverbs. Proverbs means wisdom. And it says, you know, there's a path before each person that seems right but ends in death. So each person seems right to them, but we don't know what we don't know. And, you know, it also says in Hosea, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because that you have rejected knowledge, I reject you for being priests for me. Since you have forgotten the Torah, the guidelines and instructions, not only do I forget you, but I forget your children, or your seed may suffer. So we need to understand, you know, it, do a word search with the word reject. And it wasn't only rejecting Yeshua Messiah. When you reject the Torah and the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, how He told us to live, and you want to continue to live by your fleshly desires because you believe, well, Yeshua died for me and His blood covered my sin so I can continue living this way. You know, when you make those excuses, and or, you know, many of you are deceived to believe that, but if you're not studying the Word for yourself, you know, we have to understand this is not scripture and this is not what we should be doing. What needs to happen is we need to get into the Word and we need to read the Word. And, you know, the Bible says a person will be known by their fruit. So, you know, a person is known by their fruit. So if a person isn't keeping the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, you know, that's not the fruit that the scriptures is saying that we should be living by. So we need to, you know, we need to act a certain way and we need to do these things. So in this video I'm going to talk about here today, we're going to see, and I'm going to really get into the Jeremiah 33:11, where I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they could live, so they could have life. And, you know, this speaks volumes to me. If Jeremiah was a prophet, you know, and it says, you know, during the scriptures, it says over and over again in Psalms and Proverbs, you know, crying out, you know, our wonderful Creator, how long will these people reject my prophets? How long will these people reject the Word of our Creator? And, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, folks. That's what we got going on here today. People rejecting the Word of the Creator. And many of them are deceived. Satan is doing a great work by deceiving many people to think the way they're living is just fine and they don't got to change their ways and it doesn't matter, it doesn't make a difference. Folks, it does matter, it does make a difference, because, you know, it says in the scriptures, you know, those that love me will keep my commandments. That's what Yeshua Himself said. Those that love me will keep my commandments. And, you know, a lot of people want to pick and choose which commandments they want to follow and which commandments they don't want to follow. You know, even non-believers will follow the obvious commandments against another person. Don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. Honor your mother and father. Well, some people don't honor that one. But, you know, but for the most part, those commandments, you know, people will follow. But it's the first commandments, the first four or five commands that people break on a regular basis. And that's the real issue, because that's not to another person, that's to our wonderful Creator. You know, have no other gods before me. Make no idols. You know, have no images. You know, people are doing these things on a regular basis, making their idols. They know the characters of a TV show more than they know the characters of the Bible. They know the words to secular songs more than they know the words to songs on a radio. The other day I saw a young man, and he was singing a rap song, and he knew every single word. So don't tell me you don't have any discipline or knowledge to do this. You know, we have worldly knowledge, and the only way you're going to learn every song to a rap song is by listening to it over and over again. Well, the only way you're going to learn the words to the Bible is by reading it over and over again, and that's what, you know, we should be doing. Well, we got to do that. But, you know, this world is just so backwards out there today, and people certainly are just disrespecting our Creator by not following His guidelines and instructions. Most people can't even name the Ten Commandments, let alone live them. And you know what? They don't start on that. There's many more than just 10. And somebody says, well, we can't keep all the commandments. Well, we don't have to keep all of them. Well, which ones do we have to keep? Well, folks, we have to keep the ones that apply to us. And many of them do apply to us. I am not a woman, so I can't keep commandments that apply to women. But I'm a man, and I'm supposed to be keeping commandments that apply to me. I'm not a farmer. I don't have a farm, so I can't be keeping commandments about farm animals and things like this. You know, but I certainly can keep commandments about, you know, honoring, you know, my mother and father and not committing adultery. Well, you say, well, everyone can. Well, what about have no other gods before me? Make no idols. Have no graven images. You know, so people say, oh, I could do that. But folks, we can't pick and choose. We can't pick and choose. You know, everyone said, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. Great. There are 613. You keep 10? You don't even keep 10. Because what about the fourth commandment? Honor the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath holy. And some people say, well, I keep the Sabbath on a different day. Well, then that's not keeping the Sabbath. You know, the Sabbath is Friday night to Saturday night. That's a day for our wonderful Creator. You know, folks, you can go to church on Sunday. You go to church on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But then you don't go on the one day where He calls you to fellowship with others. You know, the day to rest, the day not to spend money on the Sabbath, the fourth command. Don't be like the Catholic Church and try to change the commandments. Start getting right with the commandments. As I always say, if you want a Creator to be right with you, you got to be right with Him. You know, and our action speaks louder than words. And since we're known by our fruit, it says, you know, if you deny me before man, I will deny you before my Father. Well, if you're living against the commandments of our Creator, then you're denying Him. You know, that's why He said in the Scriptures, He said, you know, they said, we prophesied in your name, we did miracles in your name and all these things. And He said, get away from me. I do not know you. Because He didn't recognize those workers of iniquity. And it says even in Psalms, I hate workers of iniquity. Here we go now. We're going to start talking about the fellow who I met on the street and his answer about the Bible. And here it goes. Hey, I want to talk about a video that I recently took of me street evangelizing. And there was a fellow that came up to me. Actually, it was a whole bunch of bikers that passed me and their motorcycles were really loud. So this guy comes up to me and says, those bikers are from Satan. He sent them. And when he was walking away, I said, have you ever read the Bible? And he said, no, I don't believe in that. And he started to use some bad language. And he pretty much said the Bible's lame. So he's never read it, but he says it's lame. That he was a believer, you know. But then he saw somebody opposing the preaching, the message of the Bible that I was giving out. But then what does he do when I ask him if he reads the Bible? Or has he ever read the Bible? And he says, nah, it's lame, pretty much. How does he know it's lame if he's never read it, folks? Because somebody failed somewhere in this gentleman's life where he got to thinking that it wasn't even worth reading. And that's not just him. I get a lot of people that come up to me. I ask them, have you ever read the Bible? And they say, nope. And I don't want to read the Bible. They just don't think it's worth it. Folks, our Creator says He knows every hair on our body. He formed us and knew us in the womb. He knows everything about us. He is our creator. He created all, created everything. And to ignore His guidelines and instructions, to ignore His word, to ignore the gospel, to ignore, you know, the death of His Son so we could have life. The book of Proverbs in the Bible means wisdom. Okay? And it says in Wisdom 14:12 and 16:25, there's a way before each person that seems right, but ends in death. And that is the problem, folks. The way of the majority of people in our country today, or even in the world today, is not the way of the Scriptures.
I just spoke to another person yesterday or the other day, and he was saying his way, he wants his way, not the scriptural way. Well, it's very clear in scripture, when we follow the way of our Creator, what's going to happen to us, and the glorious future we have, and the great hope we have. It talks about that all over the scriptures. It says, today I offer you a future and a hope. But that path to a future and a hope is a narrow path. And the gate is narrow. And people are looking for the easy way out in all areas of life today. And I'll tell you this, as hopeful as our future is with our Creator and His path, it's not easy. It's not the easy way. And that's the great dilemma we have. Do we want to take the easy way out? Or do we want to take the way that's not easy, but it offers the future and a hope? Because the opposite of a future and a hope is destruction, no future, and no hope. And this is why so many people today, they run to drugs, they run to alcohol, and they live in their sin. They can never be free. Because the Bible says, know the truth, and the truth will set you